other. And every faith, a heart, a fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour, friends. Patrick Conley, happy to be with you again here on the Rediscover Hour. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening, or thanks for listening on our archives. Always great to have you tuning in and listening. We're really focusing on everything that the Lord is doing in our midst, even in the midst of a pandemic, here in the local church in the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. And He is busy at work, as always, especially as we're heading into this 19th Sunday in Ordinary Time this weekend. And we have in our gospel lesson the familiar story, perhaps familiar story, of Jesus walking on the sea. So the disciples, He sent the disciples on ahead as He dismissed the crowds after the feeding of the 5,000 from last week. And then He comes to them walking on the sea. A couple things that I think we can pull from this one. Well, first, when He's coming to them, they first catch sight of Him. They thought He was a ghost. And that's what Scripture tells us. That's what St. Matthew tells us. They thought He was a ghost. Fear. We have various things in our lives that create fear within us. And to a certain degree, of course, fear is a gift from God. It is something that helps us along the areas of self-preservation and that sort of thing. It's necessary, right? But it might be a good time to reflect, given the gospel reading, what things, or specifically what situations, bring fear into our lives, causes us fear. And by fear, I also mean things like anxiety, also things like uneasiness. What things bring not discomfort, because discomfort, I think, is something else, but something more like discontent into our lives. And what then do we need to do to recognize the Lord's presence in the midst of that situation? Because remember, as we've said here before on the Rediscover Hour, every situation that comes our way, even life-threatening ones, it is what God has for us at the time. Right? Everything that happens, happens within His, either His prescriptive or His permissive will. And so we can always find the Lord with us. That is the promise of the Scriptures, is that we will always find the Lord with us in the midst of all these different situations that bring us fear and discomfort, anxiety. So what do we need to do to recognize His presence in those situations? And then next, what is the response? What is our response once we do recognize His presence? Peter, as always, rather being a little bit impetuous, St. Peter says to the Lord, "Well, Lord, if it is You, then order me to come out on the water to You." Okay, so we're taking some steps toward Jesus. That's always a good thing. But note that he's crawling out of the safety of the boat into the very situation that initially brought about so much fear, anxiety, and uneasiness, right? So also recognizing that when we recognize the Lord's presence with us, that doesn't automatically, instantaneously mean that we are then going to be transported to a place of where all is calm, there's no fear, where we are delivered from the dangers around us. In fact, oftentimes we are called back into those dangers because that's where the Lord wants to work. And as we've also said, we are the conveyors of the Lord's provision in the era of the church, right? We are nourished by Jesus's body and blood, and we are filled with His Holy Spirit precisely because we are the conveyors of everything that continues, how He is continuing His mission. He's continuing that mission in and through us. So He calls us into those places of danger so that we can, He sometimes does. I don't want to say he always does, but He sometimes calls us into those areas of danger so that we can bring His presence and His provision into those situations. Next, when we're in that position of danger, still walking toward and with the Lord, we need to keep our eyes fixed on him, right? That's what Peter did not do. He didn't keep his eyes, his faith, his heart, his mind fixed on the Lord, and he started to sink in the midst of those dangers because he lost sight of Jesus' presence in the midst of those dangers. Even when those dangers are overwhelming us, Jesus still reaches out and saves us, right? Even when we are sinking in up to our neck, he reaches out and saves us. Now, some of you are thinking, rightly so, but wait a minute. I know people who have gone to their deaths by serving Jesus in this manner. Our church tradition is filled with stories of martyrs who put themselves in danger's way and ended up losing their lives over it. Well, when I say saves us, well, let's look at the next part of the gospel lesson. He then, what does he do? He saves Peter out of the dangers, but then brings him back into the boat, right? And as soon as they get into the boat, Scripture tells us the wind and the waves died down. So finally, we have to recognize that Jesus always brings us to a place of safety, of security, of peace, of joy, of grace, of mercy, of love. He always brings us to these places. Now, that's true even if, or perhaps I should say, especially if what we're talking about is union with the Father through him, face to face in eternal life in heaven. So that's always the end that we are promised if we stick close to the Lord, right? So just a few reflections that we have from the gospel lesson of today. And I think I'm going to try to carry those out into my living this week. And I hope that you will as well. What we got coming up on the show today, we've got John Tetzlaff from Catholic United Financial. He's going to be talking to us about CUF and about the things that are going on with them. And then a little bit later on, our old friend Jason Adkins is with us. He's going to talk about the Minnesota Catholic Conference's work, especially in the midst of the coronavirus. And then finally, we're going to have Deacon James Bernard with us. He is a transitional deacon. He's going to be talking about some Facebook videos he's been using called Deacon's Dugout. So that's what's coming up here on the show today. Why don't you take a moment and pray with me as we give the show over to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. Let's pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. My first guest is John Tetzlaff, who's an advanced case specialist and trainer with Catholic United Financial. He's been married to Karen for 33 years. They have three adult boys. They live in the Mankato area, and he enjoys fishing, golf, and spending time at the cabin. John, welcome to the program.
Hey, how are you today?
Doing great. How about yourself?
Well, not so bad. I'm over in Wisconsin today, so I just parked and I'm talking to you. So.
Oh, very good. Well, I'm glad you're over here in God's country. I live in Wisconsin too, John, but nonetheless, we are grateful, of course, for all the wonderful things the Lord is doing in the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. Well, first of all, John, I just want to express our gratitude here at the Rediscover Hour for Catholic United Financial and all of their sponsorship of the Rediscover Hour. We're grateful for that. But why don't you give us a little bit of an idea of, just for folks who may not know, what does Catholic United Financial do?
Well, Catholic United Financial, we kind of call a financial co-op for Catholics. We really help Catholics in the five-state area, North, South Dakota, Minnesota, Iowa, and Wisconsin, mainly Minnesota. But we help them with a couple things. Number one, we're a fraternal insurance company, which means that we are a not-for-profit, so we give back to the Catholic communities that we serve. And then we also help folks financially, help with their financial security, make sure that things are moving forward for them, especially in these times of uncertainty, to give them some guarantees and some knowledge and relief, if you will, and alleviate some fear on some of where they're going in terms of their planning, their estate planning, their retirement, their college planning, whatever it might be. And so we've been doing it for 141 years, so we've been around quite a while. And again, serve the five-state area and Catholics all over the place. And We really, really promote religious education. It's kind of our focus point in terms of the way we give back, support Catholic schools and religious education programs like we did throughout the five-state area.
Wonderful. And your role specifically as an advanced case specialist and a trainer, what's involved with that?
Well, I get the opportunity to, number one, work with the current sales reps that we have with continuing education, keeping them up to date on the new law changes, just, again, understanding how people, need our help and the things that we can help people with. When we hire new people, I get, again, the opportunity to work with them to get them acclimated to Catholic United and the great story that we have to tell people. The other side of the coin that I work on is the advanced case specialist, so I get to go out and meet people, the real members and people, the Catholics we work with, as I mentioned earlier, to help them with estate planning or understanding charitable giving ideas and things like that, so that they have the knowledge and the understanding on how to move forward. I do a lot of workshops, which means I go out to local parishes and present basic estate planning, Catholic end-of-life issues to the churches. Kind of been on hold this year for that, but
sure.
We have been doing webinars and things, too, just to get the message out there. And I've been at this for probably almost 30 years, so it's something that I really enjoy and love to get out and see people.
That's great. So let's talk a little bit about what's changed for you all at Catholic United Financial during the pandemic. What have you seen? How does a financial company for Catholics operate in the COVID world?
Well, we hear the news and we hear how all other companies are, so we have to maintain our social distance and be respectful of all the people that we work with in terms of meeting them or, communicating with them, obviously. We all have the protocols and things at our office along with what the government says or the law says we need to, which is great. Kind of the changes we've made is, we're reaching out to more people via the internet. It's certainly changed my way of doing things because, as I mentioned, I would do about 50 workshops a year in person, and that kind of shut down. So now we've been doing webinars. So we invite the local pastor and the priest and I do a webinar together through the local parish, and that's been going pretty well. So that's certainly changed a lot. I've been doing a lot of Zoom meetings. That's the big word nowadays. The Zoom meetings with individuals. So if someone has wants to meet and talk about their estate plan or, talk about what they should be doing now, we do connect with them via Zoom. I have been coming out and seeing a few people now and then. And again, the protocol obviously is there and whatever comfort level. Doing a lot of outside meetings, which is kind of nice. We've had a great summer, so it's been conducive to meeting out at the picnic table and visiting about things, too. So
absolutely.
It certainly has changed things, but, it is a challenge. But we're getting through it, and we're still helping people. The thing I'm finding is that, more and more people with uncertainty want some certainty. And so with Catholic United, all our products and the things that we do are guaranteed and have the backing of the company. And so a lot of folks are really anxious to meet and talk about how they can kind of move forward. So it's been good.
Good. Just out of curiosity, any uptick in the sales of life insurance during the pandemic?
Actually, there has been.
Really?
Again, life insurance is one of the few things we know, especially with a company like Catholic United who backs all their products through guarantees, that it is something that is a certainty. And not that people are buying it figuring they're going to die soon, but just to have some certainty in their lives to prepare for things like this that could happen in the future as well. And I don't think it's fear. I think it's more just knowing, hey, I've got some plans in place that if something would happen unexpectedly like this or, something in the future, my family is not going to suffer financially. We're going to be able to take care of each other, or my kids are going to inherit, or my church is going to inherit some funds that I've put aside that I can really, hang my hat on and make sure they're going to be there. So I think it's more, again, not worrying about death necessarily, but just having some certainty in their plan. That's where I say earlier, I've seen an uptick in people wanting to review their wills and estate plans, just again to make sure that everything's in place. And I always use this phrase, you know, in the times we live in, even whether it's 20 years ago or 30 years from now, there's always going to be things around us that we really have no control over, obviously, but we can put some control, we can put some peace of mind to our planning and our estate plan, what we'd like to see happen, you know, with the gifts that God has blessed us in our lives. How do we make sure that those get to where we want them to go and we've got things protected and all of those? So that's why I think really the uptick in life insurance, but more importantly, just the desire to have some certainty, you know, in their life. So.
Any other top concerns of Catholics in regard to their finances? And does that vary at all between, say, younger clients and older clients?
Oh, absolutely. You know, with the COVID and, you know, the unrest in the world, you know, the markets, the stock markets and the investments have certainly bopped around a lot. And so I think for the older crowd, maybe you're 50 plus nearing retirement, into retirement, you know, with a lot of the ups and downs, I'm seeing another trend, if you will, of, you know, maybe we should move some of those funds that are bouncing up and down a lot into some certainty. Again, there's that word I use a lot. But so we're seeing a lot of people using annuity products and things that Catholic United has with a fixed rate, meaning guarantees. So there's no risk of loss, and it's going to keep moving forward. And I use this phrase a lot with folks, you know, because the market kind of took a big dump earlier this year, and now it's kind of come back again. A lot of folks, again, are afraid it's going to go backwards. And I just say, well, maybe it's a good time to lock in your gains. You know, you lost some, you made some back. Maybe we lock that in now and make sure from this point moving forward that whether the market does dump or goes up or down, we're still going to maintain that upward trend. The younger folks, I think they're kind of used to the market moving up and down, and they've also got a lot more time to rebound before retirement and things. So we're seeing them maybe holding tight, maybe just kind of waiting to see what happens, but also adding an element of a fixed or guaranteed product in there as well. Again, to provide that certainty, that kind of, I know I've got this, and no matter what the world throws at me or my retirement or my planning, I've got something that's in place that I can kind of lean my hat or hang my hat on and know it's going to be there in the future.
Right. And I was saying at the top of the show, I was reflecting a little bit on situations of danger, fear, anxiety, that sort of thing. And a lot of people experience at least some of those things at some point in their lives around their finances. Just wondering, John, what your recommendation might be for people to help people protect from financial loss, or at least the greater probability of loss. And especially if, you know, like you said, the markets have been up and down around the COVID, and we've got a presidential election coming up this year. So that too would be, that's usually some time when the markets go one way or the other. So, any advice that you would give specifically, and as you talk about guarantees, what does that look like on the ground?
Yeah. Well, I think the biggest thing is, you know, it's a good time to reflect, whether you're, you know, 20s and 30s and have a young family, or you're 70 and you're retired. I think it's always when this uncertainty kind of bops around, it's a good time to really reflect, number one, on where you're at. And again, something Catholic United provides free of charge to Catholics, again, because of our fraternal and not-for-profit status, is the ability to sit down with folks and just kind of take a big picture look. And you know, here's what you got, and tell me how you feel, and what are the things you want to accomplish, whether it's, you know, protection or moving assets to charity or whatever it might be. Let's take a big picture approach. So number one, we can assure you that, you know, things look good, or maybe we need to make a couple changes. In terms of the market and stuff, again, it really depends on that situation. And so there's not like a one-size-fits-all by any means. It's more, let's sit down first and kind of get the big picture, see where things are at, see how you feel, see where you're headed, and then make recommendations on maybe we look at, like I mentioned earlier, let's lock in those gains because you're nearing retirement, and you know we don't have to want to be worrying about these things when you retire. Let's have a stream of income or a flow of income or a guarantee of income that's going to be there. And then the younger families, again, back to the same thing, is just seeing where they are at and maybe not so much tampering the ups and downs, but maybe adding more protection, maybe adding more protection against the risk of a long-term sickness or a death or something like that. So, you know, on the ground, it really boils down to what the person feels is important and where they're kind of headed, and then look at what pieces make sense. And it certainly isn't about going in and, you know, hey, you don't need any of that stuff. Let's do something different. It's just reassuring people, hey, you're on the right track. Maybe now's a good time to make a few changes or tweak what you have. Just to, again, get that serenity, if you will, a little bit in terms of everything, you know, moving around and changing. Hey, I know I've got things where I feel is important, with the ability always to be able to change it too. And so, Sure. Yeah. So in reflection, Okay. It's more, I think, just really taking an accounting of where a person's at, and we certainly help people do that every day.
Wonderful. In our closing seconds here, John, tell us how people can find out more and maybe schedule a time to get together with a representative from Catholic United.
Sure, absolutely. Again, best way is our website, CatholicUnited.org. Wonderful website. It's got financial calculators and things you can do to help out. And then there's also a tab where you can find the rep in your area. So you plug in a zip code, and the person that helps people individually can either reach out or email or whatever it might be. There's places where we're having webinars, and so if you really want to see what we're about and don't really want to contact anybody yet, hey, jump on a webinar and you can kind of see how we work and how we help people. And so that's probably the best way, is CatholicUnited.org, and kind of bop around and see what we've got and the ways we help Catholics and move forward there. It's probably the best thing to do.
All right. Wonderful. Well, John Tetzlaff, thank you so much for joining us here on the Rediscover Hour. God bless you and your continued work with CUF.
Thank you very much, sir, and enjoy the day.
You too. All right, we're going to, check them out. I should say that, CatholicUnited.org. Check them out at CatholicUnited.org. And we're going to take our first break. When we come back, our friend Jason Adkins from the Minnesota Catholic Conference is with us. Stay with us.
Are you near retirement? Don't let taxes and fees chip away at your retirement savings. Those little charges add up quickly and eat away at your hard-earned nest egg. That's the last thing you want. Take control. Build lasting retirement security with an annuity from Catholic United Financial. We offer a safe, secure place to preserve your money with a guaranteed rate of return. And no annual fees, no transfer fees, no account service fees, no hidden fees, none. Nada. We guarantee a competitive interest rate no matter what the market's doing. Maximize your savings. Transfer funds to a new Catholic United Bonus Plan annuity and get a first-year bonus interest rate. Honor your faith with Catholic United. Over 140 years of people helping people. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe money. That's CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe money. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey. We're there for life.
Discover Hour. Jason Adkins, the Executive Director of the Minnesota Catholic Conference, is with us again, and the Minnesota Catholic Conference is the public policy voice of Minnesota bishops and Minnesota Catholics. So, Jason, welcome back to the program.
Good to be with you, Patrick, as always.
Yes, absolutely. How you holding up?
We're trying to persevere. It's a busy and exciting time, and you know, putting out one fire after another. Ever since COVID hit, we've been going nonstop here on everything from, you know, PPP loans to church reopening to getting the schools back on track. And, you know, I work with the governor's office on mask mandates and all kinds of different. So it's, plus there's the actual events in the legislature and the issues in the legislature that they're debating regarding how to address and what's the community response to COVID-19, mitigating these efforts, criminal justice reform, education reform. What does a racial equity and inclusive agenda look like? There's a lot going on right now, and then we've got an election coming up.
Yeah, I've heard about that. Well, it does sound like you have quite a bit on your plate. And man, I have questions about all of them. Let's start with kind of schools reopening. What can you tell us about the whole idea of our Catholic school system and the reopening of our Catholic schools in the fall?
Well, they will be reopening. That's the good thing for in-person learning. And obviously, Catholic schools are taking extraordinary measures to make sure that's safe and done safe and responsibly. But it's really a great thing in that schools will be reopening because kids need that. Families need that. Kids need that. They need that opportunity to come back together after a long hiatus in the spring, see their friends again, be in that classroom environment. The science tells us that that's the best place for kids. The science tells us that transmission among kids and kids to adults is low. So, and schools are taking, like I said, extraordinary steps from the standpoint of making sure that their learning environments are safe and that we are good partners in the preventing the spread of COVID-19. So it's really exciting, especially as many public schools perhaps won't be opening for full in-person learning. It's also a great opportunity for Catholic schools to reach out to those families who really need in-person learning and provide an open and hospitable environment for them. So it's a challenge, but it's also really a great opportunity for Catholic schools.
Right. And I can only imagine, this is me reflecting more personally on this, but I can only imagine that it's really a difficult and situation because of the number of unknowns that are in and around it. I mean, on the one hand, yes, of course, we want to keep our children safe and not, you know, subjected to a disease that, although not shown to be super fatal to those who are young, nonetheless, they could end up being carriers and that sort of thing and get family members sick. But on the other hand, we've got a number of parents out there who just either don't have the time or don't have the resources to be able to do effective at-home learning. Can you reflect on that a little bit, Jason?
Well, you think of a single parent working,
trying
to do distance learning. Distance learning is not homeschooling. Those are very different things. Homeschooling, you know, you're directing your own curriculum, but trying to keep up with the distance learning, I think a lot of parents experience for the first time, and it's really challenging. If you're a double-income family or even whatever the case may be, it's a difficult thing to do, especially if you're not prepared to do it or feeling equipped to do it, and it creates also another layer of tension in the parent-child relationship that's already challenging, especially in those teenage years. So I think Catholic schools have really a responsibility and an opportunity to step into that and provide a place where families can discover Catholic schools for the first time, have a good learning environment. And I've already heard of all kinds of folks in my world who are looking at the fall and saying we cannot do distance learning and are looking into Catholic schools. So this is great, and hopefully we can accommodate as many people as possible.
Right. Absolutely. All right. Let's talk a little bit about this mask mandate. Now, I know I'm wading into, well, I won't say I'm wading into political territory here. What I'm wading into, I believe, is politicized territory here. It has become such that some of the divisions that you see over masks being required or not, at least people are trying to tout that it's part of a political agenda one way or the other. Tell us a little bit about how the understanding of masks and mask requirements or mask mandates have developed and evolved over time.
Well, you're right. It's a neuralgic issue for people. It's if you're frustrated and angry at the state of things, the imposition of something that's so, you know, close to your person and your bodily integrity strikes people as really, is really difficult, you know. And then you couple on the idea that the same people often who are saying "my body, my choice" when it comes to abortion are the most vigilant with regard to enforcing the mask mandate on others. So people sense that hypocrisy there. And again, it goes back to the importance of Catholic social teaching and Catholic morality and thinking about, you know, solidarity with others. What does that look like in certain situations? So in and of itself, you know, taking basic precautions to protect other people from the spread of disease is a good and laudable thing. And I think as we're seeing the infection rates increase and ICU capacity being stretched and deaths increase in a number of places, not in Minnesota, but in other places, people are saying, what can we reasonably do? You know, there's all kinds of opinions one way or another in the literature and among doctors about the efficacy of these things. But the reality is that our governor has imposed the mandate. It's the law. and it's reasonable and legitimate to require to comply with public health authorities when, in fact, they are making reasonable demands. And our bishops have deemed that this is a reasonable demand on public health, and therefore we should be collaborative and cooperative when with public health authorities when we can, as long as we're not being treated in a discriminatory manner.
Good principle, I would say. And let me just remind everybody that you're listening to the Rediscover Hour program of the Archdiocese in St. Paul, Minneapolis, on Relevant Radio 1330 WLOL, Minneapolis, St. Paul. Okay, well, let's talk then, Jason, a little bit about one of the hugest issues that I think has really boiled up in our public society and certainly needs to be considered, needs to be reconsidered and continue to be considered in the church, which is that of racism and racial equality and that sort of thing. What are we doing to promote racial justice in and around the state in terms of the church?
Well, I can speak to my role in the public policy capacity, and we've,
sure.
I think, been proactive over the years in supporting a very strong equity and inclusion agenda. You know, I'd start with educational choice being number one in that wheelhouse. It's one of the great civil rights issues of our time is making sure that kids, particularly students of color facing extraordinary achievement gaps in our schools, aren't stuck in underperforming public schools, and giving them an opportunity to exit those public schools. And it's sad that some people want to protect white education bureaucrats and keep students of color trapped in underperforming public schools. So I think the school choice issue is very key in terms of any racial equity and inclusion agenda. But we've also been working on criminal justice reform as well. You know, it's one thing to say, well, this is the thing that we think addresses the racial equity and racial injustice, and another to hear from actual persons of color and say, well, this is what we care about and what we want. So criminal justice has been a priority sort of Catholic Conference as well, and that ranges from everything from sentencing reform. In fact, the reality is that, you know, I think persons of color, particularly African Americans, have a legitimate complaint when we're throwing young African American males in prison for drug crimes, which is, you know, it's crippling to their futures. And then at the same time, you know, we can have a major financial crisis like we did in 2008. I think two people went to jail for that, you know. So
right.
White-collar crime, you know, those folks are getting off or able to escape the consequences of their actions, which affect many, many, many people. And you were throwing young African Americans in jail for drug crimes. And so there's obviously some disparities and problems here. And so we look at systemic racism and questions like that. How do our public policies create systemic racism, or, you know, what systems are in place that are producing racial disparities? Why is it that the case, and how do we address those? Felon disenfranchisement is another one where we've been a leader on that question of making sure that people who've served their time and are out of jail and are out working and paying taxes are able to vote. Right now, if you're on probation or parole, you're not able to vote in Minnesota, and we want to change that, and we've been working proactively to do that. So it looks there's a lot of different issues on this racial equity and injustice piece, but those are just a few examples of how we've been proactive over the years in working on those questions.
Wonderful. We're speaking with Jason Adkins, the Minnesota Catholic Conference Executive Director, and he is speaking to us about a whole host of issues that have arisen and come about in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic. But also, Jason, you mentioned that we have a legislative session as well. What are some of the issues that you're looking at there?
Well, first of all, I think it's important to know that we're going to have a massive budget deficit in this state. If you shut down the private sector, we shouldn't be surprised when the dollars flowing into government are fewer and far fewer. So that's a wake-up call to a lot of folks who believe that money just, you know, appears from nowhere. No, it comes through taxes, and taxes through a robust private sector. So we need to be promoting economic growth. We need to be promoting job creation if we want to have the tax revenue to do the things that we think are important for the common weal. So that's a first thing to look at, and that's going to be a challenge for Minnesota as we head into the next budget year in 2021. But the other issues right now that are percolating, of course, COVID mitigation efforts and assisting groups and entities that have responded to that crisis. Particularly, it's Catholic schools. I mean, Catholic schools are part of the solution, and we shut down our Catholic schools and then to do so to mitigate that crisis. But at the same time, that's created enormous challenges and cost pressures for our schools that are serving underprivileged kids in the community. So all these issues are connected in some way or another. And so if Catholic schools and non-public schools are going to be part of the public health solution, then they need to have access to funds to be able to mitigate some of the challenges of COVID-19. So that's one of the things we're working on at the state and federal level, but also at the same time, bonding is a big issue. Clean water, affordable housing, bonding bill has not yet passed yet, and that's a major source of contention at our legislature. We're still having special sessions, and we'll likely have another one here coming up in another couple weeks. Can legislators and the governor work out a deal on those sorts of issues before the next election? And then at the same time, we've got the what to do about the governor's emergency powers. Do we extend those? So the bonding bill is another issue that the legislature is considering. That's the bill for state construction projects, and there's a big push and a desire to create more clean water infrastructure and make sure that people have access to clean drinking water, but also more affordable housing, and that's becoming even more of an urgent pressure as people are facing the economic consequences of COVID-19, but also the issue of the governor's emergency powers. Do we continue to extend those to address the pandemic in a more flexible way, or do we bring the legislature into more of that decision-making process? So those are the issues that the legislature and the governor will be tackling as they likely head into another special session in the coming weeks.
Well, obviously, some of the things that we can do as lay people is pray. That's one of the great things that we can do for your activity, for the activity of the Minnesota Catholic Conference. But how else might laity get involved in some of the specific issues that you've mentioned? Because these are really important issues, you know, schools, school choice, mask mandates, racial equity, and then the upcoming legislative session. How can people get more involved, Jason?
Well, I think it's more important than ever that we focus our attention on state and local elections. We know that the presidential election is important, and that's generating a lot of interest and excitement and frustration with folks, but we're often ignoring our local legislative races and those legislators. And so what we're promoting this fall is something that we hope parishes will get involved in is hosting parish town halls and candidate forums where the parish invites the two major party candidates to the parish to do basically a forum in which they're asked about their position on issues that matter to the Minnesota Catholic Conference and our state's bishops, but also give people in the pew the opportunity to ask questions and get to know their legislators as well. We can't be surprised that our legislators are not making the types of laws that we want if we don't even know who they are. And I can tell you, more often than not, people cannot name both their state House member and their state senator. So we need to be in relationship with those folks. We need to be working with them, not only from a public policy perspective, but from a missionary and evangelical perspective as well. And so it's imperative that we get to know our state and local candidates, be in contact and relationship with them, and then make informed choices as we vote to transform the state. So again, form your conscience, inform your vote, and transform your state. So mncatholic.org, please encourage your pastor or your social concerns committee or your Respect Life coordinator to host a parish town hall. We have all the information and a how-to kit on our website at mncatholic.org.
mncatholic.org. And Jason, before we let you go, of course, we got people listening to the show right now. Tell us a little bit about Minnesota Catholic Conference's own radio show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, that's right. So we have a show, The Bridge Builder Show, 11 a.m. on Saturday mornings. We always have a great guest to unpack a key issue or set of questions that are relevant and important in the public square and in the public conversation. We have a mailbag segment where we answer some of the correspondence we receive. Well, why is the Minnesota Catholic Conference supporting this bill or opposing that bill? And so we take a little bit of time to unpack that, and then we give people a practical way to bring faith into public life in our bricklayer segment, as the common good is built brick by brick. So we think it's a great and informative show, and it's been a lot of fun. We've had some great guests. And we hope people join us on Saturday mornings at 11 a.m. right here on Relevant Radio.
Wonderful. Couldn't have said it better myself. Jason, always a pleasure to speak with you. God bless you, brother.
Thanks, Patrick. Thanks for all you do. God bless.
All right. And we're going to head into our next break. When we come back, we've got Deacon James Bernard with us, and he is going to be talking to us about some Facebook videos he's got going on using baseball analogies, which he calls Deacon's Dugout. Stay with us. Rediscover.
Morning Air. Experts with insight on our Catholic faith.
The strategies of Satan. Father Robert McTagg is joining us.
Colton Sheen said that the moment
before we sin, the devil is our defender. He's on our side. After we sin, then the roles are reversed. Then Christ becomes the defender and the devil the accuser. And so the devil fills us with despair.
You know, hearing confessions, one of the lies that Satan does to people is it tells us that we're defined by our sin. And I have to become indignant on behalf of these good souls and say, no, the most important thing about us is our baptism. And it's a relationship with Christ that defines us. And in every instance of temptation, it's identity theft. Satan wants to tell you you're on your own. There's no one you can cut a deal with but me. And we have to stand up and say, no, I'm an adopted child of God. I'm an heir to the kingdom. I don't have to give in.
Morning Air, 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Relevant Radio.
You are an ocean.
And welcome back to The Rediscover. Patrick Conley with you again, along with Cami Verthum, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you through the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley and brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Joining me now is Transitional Deacon James Burnett, who is entering his final year of school. He's assigned to St. John the Baptist in New Brighton as his summer deacon assignment. He has two older brothers. He enjoys playing and watching sports, as well as traveling and brewing beer. Deacon, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Patrick.
And now I have to ask, because it's the perpetual question, is it Bernard or Bernard?
Bernard.
Bernard, okay. I forgive me if I got that wrong, but Deacon James Bernard. And it might make a difference as to whether or not it's a first name or a last name, too, I suppose, huh?
I suppose, yeah.
All right, well, I'm just intrigued. Obviously, it says you enjoy playing and watching sports, and we're going to talk about Deacon's Dugout here. But you must then be a baseball fan. What team or teams do you follow?
Well, I'm Minnesota all the way, so the Twins.
Excellent. Wonderful. Good to hear. That's what we like to hear here on the Rediscover Hour, too. All right. So tell us some about Deacon's Dugout. Where did the idea first come about, and what's it all about?
Well, I arrived at St. John the Baptist. Actually, before I arrived, I talked to the pastor, Father Paul, and he mentioned that he does a lot on Facebook. And at the time, I wasn't on Facebook. I just joined right when I began this assignment. Other than using a mechanical pencil, I don't use much technology, but I jumped in, and he was doing a show called Father's Favorites, where he would talk about maybe like his favorite spiritual books. He did one on the top six things that he learned in his first 6 years of priesthood, and so he passed this along to me, and he just said, come up with a creative idea and do some shows.
All right. So that launched it anyway. And tell us about the show. What happens during the show?
Well, I use baseball analogies to talk about the faith. And how I envisioned it at the beginning was to fill up a lineup of saints.
Ooh.
So through the first four episodes, we've done five episodes. We filled up a lineup card of saints for our baseball team. And so, for example, the first episode took place right before Corpus Christi. So we talked about what are some different foods that you like to eat at the stadium, and then we sort of transitioned into the Eucharist and talking about that, and then we made St. Catherine of Siena our leadoff hitter.
Nice.
She lived on the Eucharist for 7 years and experienced 3 to 4 hour long ecstasies after receiving the Eucharist. So, and then each show kind of progressed from there. The next show was right before Father's Day. So I chose four virtues that are important for a good father and the saints that model those virtues particularly well. And we added those saints to our lineup. And then episode three was right before the 4th of July. So we talked about U.S. born saints, all along relating them to baseball, using baseball analogies.
Okay, wonderful. So give us an example of one of your favorite baseball analogies when it comes to baseball and the faith.
I think when I was talking about, when I was doing the show on the virtues of a good father, I think I found that a lot of those virtues are also important for a good baseball player. And so we added, for example, St. Maximilian Kolbe to our lineup. Mm-hmm. Because I think sacrifice is an important virtue for a father. And we also see that it's important for a good baseball player as well. You know, a player has to sacrifice his body. A player has to make even sacrifices during the off season to follow a certain diet or workout regimen.
Mm-hmm.
And so just, I think I found that a lot of the same, a lot of the same virtues or a lot of the same characteristics of the saints are also important for baseball players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly, without a doubt. What in thinking about this, Deacon? Who do you have in mind as you're creating these videos? Who are they made for? Is it just anybody and everybody, or is it more specifically to people who are baseball fans? Or what do you think?
I think what I found, I thought I might get a younger audience, but what I found was it's mostly a lot of women watch the show,
okay,
and a lot of baseball fans watch the show. And, you know, it's more about the faith than it is about baseball. Faith is more an avenue for talking about the faith. So it's not as much about baseball as one might think, and of course we didn't have baseball. I think finally my last episode that I did last Thursday was the first episode that actually competed with the Twins game. So without baseball going on, you just have to do the best you can.
Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah, well, that's maybe serendipitous timing there that you're competing with the Twins game. That's nice. I like that. Yeah, very good. Where can listeners find the videos, Deacon?
You can find the episodes by going to the St. John the Baptist in New Brighton Facebook page and clicking on live videos, and we have an archive of all of the videos, so you can find all five episodes there.
Okay, wonderful. All right, so that sounds great. Taking a look at it, and it's something that it would be, I think it'd be intriguing, especially as you said, we're having kind of very different baseball than what the whole country is used to around this time. But that's not uncommon. We've come to know in the last few months for things to change rather rapidly sometimes. What has life looked like for you specifically, Deacon, and in the diaconate ministry that you've had this summer, especially in light of the pandemic?
Well, it's been different, but the seminary sent us to the parish with the same objectives, and we're supposed to practice the priestly, prophetic, and kingly roles of ministry, and that's something that we're called to with our baptism. And just because there's a pandemic going on, it looks a little bit different. But what I found is we've used a lot of technology. I found, like, we did have an extreme faith camp that I got to participate in, and so things are done kind of socially distant, but ministry still goes on.
Wow. Okay. Any specific activities that you've done outside of Deacon's Dugout as you've been there, or anything? Maybe I should ask this: anything that has surprised you in terms of, or anything that you've learned already in your time at St. John the Baptist?
One of the biggest things that I've learned is that a priest brings who he is to his ministry, and so, like, I've been to a parish on my day off where the priest spoke sign language, and so the sign of peace was done in sign language. Father Paul likes going on his day off to visit his family, and so he does this litany of time and need. We do it every day at 3:00, and he'll do it with his family with a goat running across the screen. And I found that people really like getting to know who their priests are, and that that ministry looks different, but it's really important to bring your interests and bring who you are to your ministry. And so I figured I like baseball, and so it just made sense to sort of bring my own interests in who I am to ministry and help. That allows people to get to know who you are.
No question. And just in terms of getting to know you a little bit better, can you tell us a little bit about your own vocational story, about how you first sensed the call to the priesthood and how you responded?
Well, I'm a late vocation. I just turned 42, and my vocation came actually when I was in college. I was up at St. Cloud State University, and several people had mentioned something to me that they could see me being a good priest or something along those lines, people from different parts of my life. And I was going to daily mass at the time, but I just sort of went my own way and thought that I could maybe do things my own way. So I ended up going into teaching, went back to school, and I became a teacher of English as a second language.
Mm-hmm.
But I found that during that whole time, the Lord was always poking at me, and I always had a little bit of reservation about what I was doing and felt a sort of a gap. And then I just, I got to that age where, you know, I really need to do what the Lord is calling me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I entered seminary a little bit later. So it took me about 15 years from the time that I first knew that the Lord was calling me to the time that I actually entered seminary.
And I think this is an important thing to underscore, especially since, well, we have the privilege of speaking to you now, Deacon. When it comes to late vocations, how is it that that people in general, men to the priesthood, but women or men to the religious life, what are some of the challenges that folks who are maybe responding to the call or even receiving the call later in life, what are some of the challenges that they face?
Well, for me, I moved from a house into a dorm room. And I moved from a life of that lacked structure to a life that was more structured. You know, you think you have a prayer life, and then you realize that there's a lot more to learn. So it's very humbling, but I'm really grateful for all of the support, all of the people who support vocations through prayer and through their donations to allow people like me to enter late in life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, you never know when the Lord is going to call, and the Lord's call is something that we always need to pay attention to. Any specific advice that you might give to other listeners or people who know listeners who know others who might be starting to wrestle with a second vocation or a late vocation?
Well, I would say to continue to pray about it, and I would say you don't want to regret. You always want to give the Lord the first shot. That's one thing that I regretted about not entering earlier is that I didn't give the Lord the first shot at my vocation. I know I tried to do what I wanted to do. So I would say just listen and don't be afraid to try.
Wonderful. Well, Deacon James Bernard, thank you so much for joining us on the Rediscover Hour. Before we let you go, though, might we have a blessing from you?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of Relevant Radio and for the gift of all of its listeners who desire to grow more deeply in their faith, more deeply in their relationship with you. I just ask you to send your Spirit down upon them and be with them, help them to become better disciples of you. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Deacon James Bernard, thank you again for joining us here on the Rediscover Hour. God bless you as you continue to go, and we'll look forward to, God willing, speaking with you in the spring as the ordination to the priesthood approaches. God bless, Deacon.
Thank you.
All right. Now, you can check, just as a reminder to everyone, you can check out Deacon James's Deacon's Dugout videos on the St. John the Baptist Church Facebook page. So just go on Facebook and search St. John the Baptist Church. Or actually, you can just search Deacon's Dugout, and I found they come right up there. Very intriguing. And, you know, for all of us who are kind of missing baseball a little bit, I think that's a good thing to be able to see that, yep, there's still some ways that baseball is around, even in the midst of, of having the pandemic and even relating it to our faith, all the better, right? Okay, well, Paul and I actually have a little bit more and some new things to share with you, so we're going to head into our final break, and when we come back, again, a couple of new things on the events calendar, so you won't want to miss it, so stay tuned. Rediscover.
Hi, this is Matt Burke, former Minnesota Viking and Super Bowl champion here for Catholic United Financial. Did you know Catholic United Financial is now a $1 billion company? Not bad for starting over 140 years ago in a St. Paul church basement with $635 and change. They aren't the biggest, but they're absolutely rock solid when it comes to your finances. You don't get to $1 billion in assets by being anything less. They've sold life insurance from the start, when it was about people pooling their resources to help each other in times of need. They also provide ultra-safe and secure financial products like annuities, which are a great complement to anyone's financial portfolio. And they now offer Medicare Supplement Health Insurance for those 65 and older. Maybe it's time you aligned your finances with your faith, like my family did, and join a $1 billion financial company you can trust. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Look them up at CatholicUnitedFinancial.org.
In the morning when I rise, help me to prioritize all the thoughts that fill my day. Before my schedule tells me that my day is full.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Just a reminder to everyone, the Sunday obligation to attend Mass is still dispensed, but if you are planning on attending Mass this weekend or any weekend, bring your mask. Archbishop Hebda, as we heard from Jason Adkins, has updated guidance for all parishes diocesan-wide that masks are now required at Mass. Check with your local parish for other safety guidelines, and remember to visit archspm.org/COVID-19 to keep up to date.
Also remember, you can hear daily Mass and devotions here on Relevant Radio. Join us Monday through Friday for daily Mass at noon with Father Rocky, Divine Mercy Chaplet at 3 with Drew Mariani, Sunday Mass at 9 a.m. and noon.
And prayer is always critical, and especially during a pandemic. Take a moment to pray each time a COVID-19 anointing corps priest is dispatched to give last rites. And it's an important thing. We've entered into that with our friends a few times. A really wonderful thing to do. All you got to do is text ARCHSPM-ANOINTING to 55321, or for more information and for online sign-up, visit archspm.org/COVID-19.
We have some great priests, religious, and deacons in our archdiocese, but we can always use more. Why not come to the next Holy Hour for Vocations? Tuesday, August 11th, 7 to 8 p.m. at St. Vincent de Paul in Brooklyn Park. Come spend an hour with Jesus to pray for an increase in vocations to the priesthood, consecrated life, and diaconate. Attendance limited to 250 people with social distancing guidelines. For all the information, visit archspm.org/events.
You know, Paul, I was looking at that, the announcement that you just gave about the Holy Hour for Vocations, and this next coming announcement. I mean, maybe somebody's prayers are going to be answered through this next announcement,
too.
You just
never know how God works.
The De La Salle Christian Brothers are sponsoring an online come-and-see gathering for men ages 18 to 35. Again, this is online. It's going to take place on Thursday, August 13th. And it's going to be a time of prayer, sharing, and conversation about discerning religious life as a De La Salle Christian Brother, which is a unique call to live the gospel in community through the ministry of education. So any guys, if you're thinking about, you know, don't think the priesthood is for you, but you're thinking about maybe I'm called to be a teacher, I'm called to be an educator, maybe check out the De La Salle Christian Brothers. Again, Thursday, August 13th, an online come and see gathering for men ages 18 to 35. Registration is required, so go to archspm.org/events and register online.
I always say God works in weird ways.
It sounds vaguely familiar, yes.
It's close. Be sure to check out archspm.org/events for upcoming events around the Archdiocese, and you can still sign up to receive local evangelization updates. Go to archspm.org/evangelization and enter your email address.
Yeah, and I got to say that those weekly emails that come out from the Office of Evangelization, there's still lots of good stuff on there, not least of which, of course, is information about the Rediscover Hour. But there's other stuff that's on there.
I notice. They give some nice plugs to this show.
Yeah, nice plugs to this show, but there's also things, ways that you can continue to grow in your faith and continue to grow in ways of sharing the faith as well. So that's an important thing to do. As a reminder, folks, always our archives are available as well. Just go to archspm.org, search for Rediscover Hour, and there you will find a homepage that has all of our archive shows there that you can listen to at your leisure, as they say. All right, well, coming up next time on the Rediscover Hour, let's talk about that a little bit. You know, Archbishop Hebda was on a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about Synod focus areas. Well, you know what? He's ready to give us a little bit more of an update about that. So once again, we are going to have Archbishop Hebda with us. He's going to be back with us with an announcement on the Synod focus areas, so we don't want to miss that. Also, some of you are familiar with Catholic Studies, and specifically Director Dr. Michael Naughton. He has published a new book, and he's going to be with us talking all about it. It's called Getting Work Right, Labor and Leisure in a Fragmented World. That's what's coming up next time on the Rediscover Hour. Thanks for hanging with us through this hour. Hope it was inspirational to you. In the meantime, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturday afternoon at 12:30, and Sunday afternoon at 2 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.